Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Last week on our program, we emphasized the fact that the Bible is the complete and all-sufficient revelation of God to man. What we have in the Bible is the all-truth, John 16, verse 13. The all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. The faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude, verse 3. If we want to know what the will of God is for our lives, we must go to the Bible. That is our standard of authority. Our standard of authority is not what my preacher says or what I may think or feel is right. It's not what the magisterium of the Catholic Church says or what the Book of Mormon says or the writings of the Watchtower Society. The standard is the Bible and the Bible alone. And we asked the question last week, by what authority are you being guided? Are you assured that your beliefs and practices are founded on the Bible? The only way we can know that what we believe and practice in religion is sanctioned by God is by giving book, chapter, and verse for those beliefs and practices. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Proper faith can only come from God's Word, the Bible. What I want to emphasize on our program today is that we are restricted by God's Word concerning what we believe and practice in religion. When God gives instructions in His Word, the Bible, we must not add to, subtract from, or modify anything He says. Let me illustrate the point that I want to make today like this. Suppose I should tell my son, "Here's $5, go buy a loaf of bread." He returns with the loaf of bread, a candy bar, and a can of soda pop, all paid for with my money. I say to him, "Son, I just told you to buy a loaf of bread." He says to me, "But Dad, you didn't tell me not to get a candy bar or a soda pop." Well, he could correctly argue that. However, I had in times past specifically told him on several occasions, "Whenever I tell you to do something, don't add to what I tell you, nor take from it, nor substitute anything else for it." Having told him that, he then should know that he was always restricted to my instructions no more and no less. And I should not have to repeat the restrictions with each order I give. Well, you see, God has done this in the Bible. God tells us in several places and in several ways that we must not add to His Word nor take from it or modify anything He tells us to believe and do. And God doesn't have to repeat the restrictions every time He tells someone what to do. Well, this was true under the old covenant that God made with the children of Israel. Under this covenant, God gave them the law of Moses. And more than once, God told the children of Israel not to add to or take from His law. Look with me at a couple of examples. In Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2, Moses said to the children of Israel, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Now notice, the children of Israel were told not to add to or take from the word God had commanded them. Also in Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8, God said to Joshua, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." But not only did God want the children of Israel to observe His law without adding to it or taking from it, He also instructs Christians under the new covenant to obey His commandments without adding to or taking from. Look with me in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now someone might say, well, this passage only applies to the book of Revelation and not to all the New Testament. Well, it's true that the phrase, the words of the prophecy of this book, has reference to the Revelation. But let me ask this question. Should we not treat the rest of the New Testament with the same respect as the book of Revelation? The point is, this is a principle that has always applied to God's law. It was true under the Old Covenant, and it's true under the New. That is, we should not add to or take from God's Word. Consider with me also 2 John verse 9. The American Standard Version translates, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son." The Greek word translated goeth onward is praago, and Thayer defines the word to mean to go before, to proceed, go forward. Well, to go before or to go forward is to go outside the bounds of the teaching of Christ, and thereby not abide in His teaching. Would not adding to and taking from the teaching of Christ being going onward and not abiding in it? This passage makes it clear that we are restricted by the teaching of Christ. Jesus said to Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed." Yes, true disciples of Jesus are those who abide in His Word. They do not add to it or take from it. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." Well, what does it mean to speak as the oracles of God? Well, let's look in the book of Numbers, chapters 22 through 24. Now, Balaam was a prophet of God. He was a greedy prophet, but he knew what it meant to be a prophet and to speak the words of the Lord. Now, Balak, the king of Moab, wanted Balaam, the prophet, to curse the children of Israel. But notice what Balaam said in Numbers 22, verse 18. "Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, 'Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more.'" After failing to curse Israel and feeling the anger of Balak, Balaam says again, "If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that I must speak." That's Numbers 24, verse 13. You see, Balaam was not allowed to speak of his own will from his own mind, but only what the Lord said that he should speak. Well, this is what Peter is saying in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, when he says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." We're not allowed to go beyond the word of the Lord to speak more or less, to do more or less. You know, this is the attitude that Jesus had. Consider the following statements from Jesus. John 8 and verse 28, Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself, but as My Father taught Me, I speak these things." In John 5 and verse 30, "I can of Myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek My own will, but the will of the Father who sent Me." Now notice, Jesus did nothing on His own authority, because He was seeking the Father's will and not His own. In John 12, verse 49, Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on My own authority, but the Father who sent Me gave Me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told Me, so I speak." In John 5, verse 19, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus did not simply rely on what He wanted to do. He looked to the example of His Father and acted based on that. Now, if Jesus refused to teach on His own authority and refused to do His own will, but to teach and do only what the Father commanded, Should not that be our attitude toward God's will today? You know, as we read Scripture, there are two questions that can be asked. These two questions represent two different approaches to Scripture. The first question one may ask in reading Scripture is it forbidden? The one who asks this question believes that one can do anything that God has not forbidden in the Bible. For example, since infant baptism is not specifically forbidden in Scripture, then it is permissible. But the second question one may ask is, what does the Lord require? The one who asks this question while reading Scripture believes that one can do only the things that God has instructed us to do in Scripture. And so, since believers' baptism for the remission of sins is the baptism that is taught and required of us in the Bible, then we are restricted to practice that baptism. And that would then exclude infant baptism. Now, let me ask you, which approach should we take based on the passages of Scripture we have just studied? Since the Lord wants us to abide in His teaching, not adding to or taking from what He has said, it seems evident that the second approach is the correct one. We need to ask, what does the Lord require? When God commanded Noah to build an ark out of gopher wood, God did not have to specifically forbid all other kinds of wood for all other kinds of wood to be unauthorized. You see, when God specifies something, He excludes everything else related to that category. When Jesus specified unleavened bread and fruit of the vine for the Lord's Supper, would it be right for us to add meat and potatoes to it? They are not specifically forbidden. But we understand that when the Lord specified what He wanted, we are restricted to what He said, and that excludes everything else. Well, someone might be thinking, you're placing too much emphasis on keeping law. God wants us to emphasize loving Him and reverencing Him. Well, let me say first of all, if the Bible is the Word of God, then it bears His authority. To the extent that the Bible is God's Word, then it is authoritative. If it isn't His Word, then it is no more authoritative than what any of us may come up with and put down on paper. Now, question, can we truly love and reverence God when we ignore or minimize the message that He has given? God is directly tied to His own Word. Our response to His Word is our response to God. If we love God, then we will love His Word and keep it. 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." We cannot give proper respect and love to God if we do not pay attention to the message that He inspired to be inscribed with ink on the pages of the Bible. The proper attention to God is to give proper attention to His Word, and that means that we must abide in it, not add to it or take from it. Strictly keeping God's Word is a show of love and respect for Him. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program, or a transcript of this program, or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address, along with the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. The address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.